Welcome, 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 everyone, to another Extra Bases with Bristol and Booth. Big day, Jeremy. Big day about some small little rule changes. Uh-oh, you're shaking your head already?
I'm not shaking my head. I just...
They're one of the greatest things. The pitch clock is one of the greatest things that has ever, ever happened to the game. Ever.
Is that it?
No, I got thinking about the Dodgers and Shohei as soon as I said it. Jackie Robinson, that kind of reference. But anyways.
You know, my thought on the pitch clock is not that we didn't need one. My thought on the pitch clock at the time, because I'm not a fan of the swings and misses and foul balls. 4-hour baseball games are boring for even the guys playing them. It's not, no one wants to do that. My thought on the pitch clock was that we needed more time to transition into it to protect against injuries. That was my thought on the pitch clock. And we talked about that before. We saw guys go down. Is it related to the pitch clock? Who knows? But we saw guys go down, right? Today, I thought that the pitch clock went up a couple seconds with guys on base. Looks like it went down.
It did. It went down because they found out that minor league baseball, it was taking about 17 seconds. So they went from what, 20 to 18? Yeah, 18. 20 to 18. Because according to MLB, pitchers began their deliveries with an average of 7.3 seconds remaining on the 20-second timer. And, a universal 17-second clock used for the final month of the AAA season did not increase violations with runners on base. So that's how they came up with 18. I think they felt like, well, we're not going to push the envelope too much by 1 second. We'll just compromise. But as you're probably aware, the players not exactly thrilled by all this.
Well, I think that two things. I think number one, 20 to 18 is negligible. So, you know, to me, if it's a rule change, it makes up a few minutes a night. I get it. But we're not talking about 0 to 20. That was a big deal. Right. And so it's not enough of a change to matter in my mind. Now, from the Players Association, they're looking at it from a health standpoint and they're thinking like, you know what? We don't want to we don't know enough yet to go ahead and let this particular thing happen. Again, another adjustment. Again, it's been 1 year. Give us more window. I understand the data on MLB side. This is one of those things where I'm kind of like, all right, I kind of get what you say and I hear you. But the data on MLB side to me says what you just said. You have the information in front of you, 17 seconds. That isn't fine. But I get what the players are saying too, because you don't want guys getting hurt and you don't want them to be in a situation. You like to have enough information before you make changes. Unfortunately for the players, and they've articulated this multiple times, they don't have enough seats on the committee, and it basically anything ML wants to do passes, right? So it passed. That one part of it, to me, it's negligible, but I understand both sides. We can add a little bit more here, you know, and all of this, by the way, goes back to the root cause, something I feel like we've said, I and you, and a lot of other people actually, but you and me, because that's the bubble we live in, have said publicly, that the way they were playing the game was not good. Swings and misses and foul balls and walks and, you know, a bunch of rocking deliveries and back and forth. And hey, man, if you want to do that, that's great. But, you know, Shohei Ohtani is the best thing that ever happened to the Dodgers of all time.
This one hasn't received as much play or attention.
That was my Castellanos thing. I think that's going to be my new one. You know, is Shohei Ohtani is the best thing that ever happened to Dodger baseball. Sorry.
Yeah. Do we really want to talk about that?
I have no problem talking about that. It is. Yeah. Go ahead. No, go.
Sometimes I wonder. And I'm going to speak in general terms here because it's not easy to do what we do, as Jeremy continues to laugh. I do think that sometimes some people might be rushed to positions that maybe they're not ready for.
Oh, you mean so they're not qualified?
I didn't say that.
Okay, I did.
I didn't say that.
I said it. And I know this because when you plucked me from the pile of what to teach me this craft, right? I listened to you now. I paid attention. I didn't say what I wasn't supposed to. We're very quickly 7 years into this bad boy called Bristol and Booth, right? We're 7 years into this thing. It wasn't always like this. It wasn't always as special and fun and gifted and talented and all the things that go with it. It wasn't, you know, now the eyes were always blessed by God, apparently, but for everything else, you know, we had to build into this, you know, and I think that when, I don't want to, you know, I'm going to put my Kanye on. So I'm going to let you finish. I'm not doing any of that stuff. I'm in it tonight. I'm in the zone of other places. When you make comments like that, how do you get a microphone again? The most important signing in sports, not just the Dodgers, but in sports, was the man that broke the color barrier. There's just no way around it. And it happens to be his organization. I'm going to back up now. I'm going to go defer to you. But I sat there like this, man, for a couple of days. What's that SpongeBob gif? You know, the one he's got his head down? He goes, yeah, I'm going to head out. That's what I was at. All right, I'm done.
The person in question has really not addressed it at all. Is it possible that he thought, okay, LA Dodgers, and we're not talking Brooklyn Dodgers. I know that their franchise is the same. I mean, it's the same, but I operate, and you know how I operate. I double, triple check things, like to the point sometimes where it's probably not healthy. And believe me, I've made mistakes. We've all made mistakes, but that's a tough one. That's a tough one.
Have you ever?
But,
I mean,
but again, he's not a reporter, though. He's a personality who is supposed to give hot takes. So certainly the bar is a little different from what I do and what he does. So.
Listen, I appreciate you giving the man the benefit of the doubt, but we're not going to go into names. Cause I think no one has to, I mean, 11 million people saw that thing by the time I stopped looking at it. Like, I'm quite certain it got out there. Okay. But I'm going to say this. T-shirts, ripped jeans, walking through people's shots while they're filming in the postseason, jumping in front of people to ask dumb questions. And I'm saying they're dumb questions because I've listened to them. And I've listened to them, and I've been at these things, and I'm like, man, you know, and look, you know, you're not supposed to do that, but when you keep piling on with it, and then you got this entourage that walks around with you, worshiping the ground you walk on because you happen to, I don't know what. I don't know what the, I mean, honestly, when I saw the clip, I didn't really see the clip. I just said, that's another dumb thing. I'm just going to keep moving. And then I looked at it, I said, whoa, hold on. You know, because, you know, what Ben doesn't realize is that, and it's absent-minded, it wasn't intentional. It was absent-minded. It wasn't an intentional slight. That's not what he was doing. It was absent-minded, it was clueless, and it wasn't connected to reality. And people that look like me, or people that look like the guy that he was celebrating as the biggest signing, don't get a chance to even get a uniform without the one he ignored. It's tough. I don't feel for the person because there's been nothing said since then. There's been no omission. He's had major leaguers pile on. He's had guys comment all over the industry. Not a sound.
And I think that's where I'm going with, sometimes I wonder, I always think preparation has a big, you mentioned some of your issues that we have seen with our two and two eyes, four eyes together.
It happens. It's just
that
happens.
I think that people who have experience, they kind of know kind of the mores of what goes on in our industry and are a little more cognizant of it. So I just think that sometimes I think people are maybe rushed to places that they are not ready for yet. But, you know, that's I don't begrudge anyone. I mean, we all take our different paths. I mean, some people get through the minor leagues in 7 years. Some people get through them in two. Some people get through them in five. Some people get through them in 5 weeks. I'm not begrudging anyone. I just, sometimes I think that there is something to be said for experience and having a sense of experience and what it can do for someone, perspective. I guess, yes, what it can do for someone's perspective.
So let me say it this way, and I think
gosh, this is not even where we were going to go with this.
That's okay. It's what we got stuff to talk about. We should. I mean, this is something that resonated across millions and millions and millions of people. That I mean, you know, somebody said, you know, watching the ratio, right? Like you got like, you know, 12 million people, whatever, 11 million people, whatever it was, that saw it at like 7 likes. Like that's a problem. Okay, and no one, you don't want to judge or stuff like that. But guys like that, people like that, that's how they're judged. He's judged by followers. He's judged by likes because that's his thing, right? That's his thing. It's like, it's almost like other personalities out there who may, you know, make stuff up to go ahead and get a fan base moving on them and try to, you know, just run away from any kind of consequences. You know, some people do that, but other people do this and they do it on social media and they do it with this kind of weird. And it is weird. I don't have another way to say it because I just can't explain it besides, and you know me, man, I'm not at a loss of words very often, but this one is like weird. It's just a weird dynamic watching that walk around. It's an arrogance. It is a entitlement. It is a few different things that I think we can talk about from a approach standpoint. Let's say that, an approach standpoint, because I don't know the person that I'm talking about person to person. So I'm not going to talk about character, and what I'm talking about is the presence in the environments that we're in. And the presence the environments we're in says entitled, says disrespectful, says buffoonish. It says, is buffoonish a word? If it is now, it says a lot of things that you and I would have looked at each other as, and everybody else in the room has looked at each other and gone, man, please don't come by me. Just go do something else, please. Whatever you do, you know, it's being tolerated instead of being respected. And it's sad because the guy played. He's got some experience. He's got some stuff that he could probably bring to the table. But he's so into this fanboy shtick, and he's so into, well, I'm just gonna say it. He's into my brother this, my brother that, my guy, he's just not objective in what he does. Heck, at the worst case scenario, he should stay away from talking about his brother. He shouldn't do any of that stuff. It's his brother, right? You don't want to get into that situation where you're that big of a, it's not my battle to fight. It was definitely something that went across social media and went across media platforms. Cause that thing was sent to me probably 65, 70 times around the country. It's like, did you see this? Are you going to comment on this? Of course I saw it.
All right, let's get back to the pace of play. It's interesting, within the Major League Baseball announcement, it mentioned that the average 9-inning game from April to September, did you see this?
I didn't.
The average 9-inning game increased 7 minutes from April to September. So it seems like that's really what is prompting baseball to do something more.
Why would that happen, though? Do they say why? Or just that it did?
5 minutes after controlling for the number of pitchers, breaks, and runs scored. 5 minutes after controlling. That's, I don't know what that...
That's interesting, Jason. That's really interesting.
Maybe because there's more meaningful baseball later in the year, and obviously there's more moves to be made, and...
So it went from what? It went from 2 hours and what, 36 to 2 hours and 43?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, they didn't have the times, but.
You know, anything under a 3-hour baseball game is good. It's a good deal. I will say this. I don't think anybody on either side, meaning the players and the Players Association, disagrees that the need for action back in the game is important. I understand the Players Association's role is to protect their players, period. Not just the ones that are in the big leagues, but the ones in the minors and the ones underneath that are coming through. From a Major League Baseball standpoint, they also want to protect their players. They also want to protect the fan engagement. And they all have the same concepts that they'd like to see. They have different ideas about how to do it. But the players want people in the seats. Major League Baseball owners want people in the seats, right? Major League Baseball the owners don't want to pay people to be hurt on the DL. And the players want to stay on the field. Seems to me they agree on these things. It's how they get there and maybe splits of what that financials will look like that is different. But at the end of the day, I got to stop saying that. I hate that. I really started to hate that saying.
At the end of the day?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Doing this at the end of the day, but anyways.
In the final analysis, anything under 3 hours is a good pace, and they'll continue to find ways to do it, and they can. The one they did make that I liked was the base widening thing at first base.
Yep.
The lane. I thought that was way too long. It took way too long. So I'm glad that is that's in there. I thought that was necessary.
Buffoonish is a word, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah.
Good. It applies.
Trades, you know, you've always said prospects are suspects. And I don't know how this populated on one of my social media feeds, but it was from at Philly's Tailgate talking about the JT Realmuto trade from 2019. And they said, it's pretty incredible how bad this trade worked out for the Marlins. So Realmuto goes to the Phillies. The Marlins get Sixto Sanchez, who's pitched one inning in the bigs, maybe just one inning, who's one inning pitched since 2020. Jorge Alfaro, DFA'd multiple times, signed a minor league deal with the Cubs. Will Stewart never made it to the majors and didn't get selected in the Rule 5 draft. So Sixto Sanchez has pitched one inning in the big leagues since 2020. And I got thinking about the Justin Verlander trade and Drew Gilbert and Clifford and so many people saying, oh, that's too much and too much. But let's be honest, most of these deals do not work out for the teams that accumulate prospects. I mean, Verlander's first time around, Jake Rogers for the Tigers, he's developed into something, but Daz Cameron, oozing tools, but has not been able to find consistency. Franklin Perez was never healthy. So, I mean, you know, Zach Greinke trade, any of those guys other than Josh Rojas has done anything. Gerrit Cole trade, Joe Musgrove, yes. Musgrove has been a dude, but that was not with the Pirates. For the most part, he's been a dude with the Padres. So it just, as I get older now and I have a more worldly view of some of these baseball trades, man, I'm all for getting rid of it. Very rarely do these guys seem to hit. And it's funny, the ones that, and maybe I'm just speaking from the Astros perspective, sometimes it's the players in these minor deals. Josh Fields for Yordan Alvarez, Jeff Bagwell for Larry Anderson. I mean, those weren't mega deals, and look how they turned out. But still, I think, once again, it's a very important lesson no matter which way you want to look at it. At the end of the day, prospects are suspects. And if you can acquire star power, you do it. Because yeah, the percentages... And granted, I don't have them concrete, but at least the eye test tells me that go do it. Because in most cases, I would say 75% of those cases, those prospects will not come back to bite you.
This is an incredibly difficult game to play. It's just sum it up like that. And if you're achieving at the highest level, there's a cost for that to happen. Sometimes it's monetary on the contract. Sometimes it's organization. It's incredibly difficult to do. And that's why you and I say constantly, no matter what we're talking about players, these guys are some best
1%,
in the world.
Yep.
We always qualify with that because they are. They're the best in the world at this thing. And we wouldn't be talking about it if it wasn't relevant, right? You know, that said, clubs have gotten real good or even overprotective with players like Alvarez and Abel. They just don't want to part with it in lots of different ways or for lots of different reasons. I think we're looking at a place, though, where you've got the free agent market that's been ridiculously slow. You've got things where they don't want, you know, Yamamoto's now holding things up, right? And you've got two teams, maybe three, that are really, really in the mix. Dodgers, Yankees, and potentially the Mets. Red Sox are out, Phillies are out, Giants are out. I don't understand why that is. These guys got to go sign players. There's lots of players that don't affect, that Yamamoto doesn't affect. But they've gotten into a place with MLB where they don't want to draft a bunch of guys. That's 20 rounds, okay? They want as much information as possible. Understand that. They want to see good talent against good talent. Understand that. They've eliminated affiliates. Don't quite understand that. Also, I understand the business side of why they would do it. Don't think it's necessarily the right move. But that's not my call. That's between them and the Players Association, right? You guys got to figure that out. So, in my view, clubs have diminished their pool to pull from. And so giving up those type of players, even ones you think could be something, become much harder because the cost, it's like supply and demand. Supply is less because you don't have as many affiliates or places to pull from. That means the cost is more expensive and clubs don't want to pay on the other side. For a business, for an industry that's very business driven when it comes to assets and dollars and stocks and value and valuations, any number of things, right? To not understand that's a supply and demand thing. When you take away affiliates, which again, it's not, I'm a dog in a fight. It's not up to me. That's up to them. When you have take away affiliates and you take away jobs, some of that I understand because some of those were wasted. Okay. Some of those were not. Some of those had players like a Jeff Bagwell or a Yordan Alvarez on their roster because they weren't ready to move up. And look what happens to the game when you have them. So you're right. I agree with you. You're not wrong in any of it. I'm curious to see what the industry really expects, because certainly here in Houston, if you're trying to trade, you don't have anything to trade from unless it's off the big league roster. If you're trying to trade, giving up stuff in the systems and bringing anything back, no matter what the bloggers and tweeters decide they're going to say. If you decide to give up Alex Bregman, you're not going to turn around and replace him from somebody in Double A who's 26, no matter what the bloggers and tweeters say. So, I think that's what you're in an interesting spot in the game where having these trades makes sense in some ways, and then you're not going to be able to see ones get done just because there isn't another supply behind them.
And now, looking ahead, big, big news for Program 15 New Balance Future Stars Series. Two of your largest events, would that be safe to say? Two most important?
Yeah, I've got scouts
are now in Texas.
Scouts are reaching out from all over the industry about both of these. Everybody's happy. There's a lot that's coming in the new year. Let's say that in the new year that impacts us positively, that impacts the game positively. But we're able to be a part of that, what's coming forward. And that's great. I would venture to say a big piece of it, and not, I don't think that's overstating it. I think that all the groups, all the things that are coming as far as what they're doing, you know, individually and collectively, have a lot that's going to be impactful. I mean, it really is. It's got some good steps. Part of our step, however, was being able to take a never before done event, at least in this scale, and put it in Globe Life. And
that is the New Balance Future Star Series. That's your
showdown.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's ahead. So that's the one with the junior colleges.
Correct.
So you've got,
six teams, yeah.
Six, well, of the.
You've got San Jac,
yep.
You got Blinn, you
yep.
got Navarro, you
yep.
got New Mexico,
yep.
Northwest. So five junior colleges.
Five, okay.
For now, that'll expand next year.
What kind of baseball do you expect? And
good
how
baseball.
How many scouts do you expect to be there?
A couple hundred. I mean, if from what I've been able to tell, anywhere from 250, let me take that back, 175 to 300.
All right. So the JUCO showdown is at Globe Life, and then coming to Minute Maid.
Yeah, Minute Maid is the main event.
And
that's done in partnership with the city of Houston. It's in a very special place for all of us that live here in our
We've
backyard.
Spent some time there.
A couple of days, yeah.
So with the main event, for those who are new to the podcast or just don't like Jeremy, the main event features the top prospects from around the country and then from around the world.
In some cases, yeah. We have a Caribbean Classic that's now in Dominican. It was International Week for a while. When you and I connected, it was International Week.
Oh, so now it's just Caribbean then?
The Caribbean Classic. So Major League Baseball in 2000.
No, I meant for the main event.
Main event? No, it's U.S. players, domestic players. Draft.
Oh, it's all U.S.
Some Canadian, some Puerto Rican, but it's all draft eligible players.
Boy, now I need to edit this all out.
Why?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's all draft eligible guys in the main event. And then the Caribbean Classic. So Major League Baseball passed the rule in 2020 because some other groups not named Future Star Series were breaking scouting rules during the pandemic. Holding events at places and not following the rules that were being set out because they were loopholes. Major League Baseball then passed a rule that said international signees, players that are signed internationally, could not participate in a Major League stadium unless MLB gave approval. Okay. And so they gave me the heads up before the event because the event was already in motion. Remember, that was in 2020. And for those of you that don't know, we were the first game in a Major League stadium with fans in the pandemic. We did it. Okay. Then MLB did it right not too far after that, but we did it first. And so they gave me the heads up about the event. So we were able, we did it in a way that, was able to be executed, but the international kids played in the AA park. They didn't play in the big league park, right? So from then on, we just created the Caribbean Classic, and now we have the Caribbean Classic, and now we have the main event. And the main event is all domestic players, right? So it's all draft eligible players, meaning players that are eligible to be drafted, whether they're the current draft or a year back. And last year, Fenway was great. And so those teams actually rolled over into the event at Globe Life, which is in a few weeks in the middle of January. But the main event, City of Houston, has been great. It has been at Fenway Park. It's been at City Field. I feel it has a permanent home here.
Permanent home?
Yeah. At least for the foreseeable future. I can't see us moving it. They're great over there at the Houston Sports Commission.
Harris County Houston Sports Authority. Yep.
Correct. This was all them, by the way. It was all, I'm going to say that it was all the connections over there, the people that wanted this event as they bring more events to Houston for the, just the city itself and for, high school sports down here are massive. Right. So, this could be something that's really awesome to do it in this spot. But the Astros, it's been a changing of the guard and I'm not talking about James Click. JC was all about this stuff. I saw him in Nashville and, you spent some time with him and he's in a good place. And James was, it was actually kind of fun to see James away from the yard for a little bit, to visit with him. But Dana's all about it. And Derek Ladner is all about it. And Dijon Watson's all about it. And the guys in that department that have been around, I was in Nashville and even Evan Brandon said hello to me. And I thought that was great. So something Evan wouldn't have done before, by the way, but he was like, "Hey, what's up, man? Hey, what's up, Evan? How you doing?" So you look at those type of things and you think maybe that the scouting culture is a little bit different, that they want to get back to players. Certainly Jim Crane has shown an aversion to spending over the luxury tax, right? Getting to that deal. So the more events they can have and the more things they can do with high level prospects to get better looks at them in their ballpark, I'm sure they're going to want to do. And I think that's part of what this is for them. So, they were in support. Harris County Houston Sports Commission made sure that
Harris County Houston Sports Authority.
Houston Sports Authority, sorry. Harris County Houston Sports Authority got that done. And, some big thanks to Daniel and Chris and Janice and the whole crew over there.
At what point, how far along are you in the selection process for that? I mean, how many players have you, say, earmarked for that event at this point? How many, we're 10 months away from it?
I would say zero.
Okay.
But I would say we've got about 80 to 90 invites to the summer combines, which is selection events, at Vanderbilt. Those are at Vanderbilt. And so I will say this, Tim Corbin and staff cleared their entire schedule in the month of July to accommodate one New Balance Baseball Future Star Series. We're very thankful to Vandy. It's an iconic place. Tim's Corbin's done a great job, and he's been very special to me, and how him and Maggie, how they've treated me, and how they've embraced what we've done. And as far as I'm concerned, that's how this rolls. This is at Vandy in the summer, and this is it, you know, Minute Maid and then Globe Life after that. And I know the Rangers want this stuff. They want it for a long period of time. So I'd have a hard time seeing the current formula change, including the JV event being at Fenway Park, which, you know, the Red Sox baseball operations tried really hard to get us, you know, to have us have the full weekend there for years. Mike Rickard championed it, Devin Pearson and the baseball ops just wasn't meant to be with the business side. Just what they just weren't into. It wasn't meant to do anything close in my mind to what this event has earned, and to be here in Texas is my backyard. So excited to keep the underclass lead up at Fenway, and we've got another event, the underclass premiere Fresh 50, that'll be at Dunkin' Donuts Park, home of the Hartford Yard Goats, and Delta Dental will also have part of the underclass elite, as well as Boston College. So we got a couple things going on up there, got a couple things going on down here, and I'm excited. I'm actually in a very calm, and Jason, we know each other really well, and I don't mind saying this stuff on camera, I'm in a very calm place right now when it comes to this company. I'm focused. I'm ready to roll forward. I'm ready to help players. I'm ready to achieve and give everything I have and get back on the road and do it again. And I haven't felt that way in a while. So I'm excited to have this peace with Mike Landis and Jeremy Hamilton and Pat Murphy and Jim Duquette and Bobby Evans and, the entire crew, everybody. I mean, I could keep going. The entire leadership crew, Jason, just, you know, everybody here that works here has done a great job. Brian, Renee, they all do great jobs, you know, when it comes to doing what they're supposed to do. And my cousin Ryan, who's going to be moving to Houston to run Houston operations, right? So it's become a little bit of a family affair. I'm pretty pumped up about all this.
I'm a little bit biased because it's our city and we only have a few minutes left, but I would think Houston, the setting of it, would be an excellent spot for an event like this, because you've got the nearby hotels, you've got a lot of restaurants, and you've got a lot of ancillary things around the area that when the kids and their families aren't playing, there's a lot of things to go do and see away from the ballpark when you're not playing. And I imagine there's some cities where it's not that easy to do those things based on where the ballparks are. So I think that's a win-win for you. That's just, again, my, I guess, biased opinion, having lived here in Houston now for 7 years, and we've gone and visited a lot of places. And yes, I know Major League Stadiums are typically in areas that they build up around the stadium, but I don't know. I just think it's a good, a nice mixture of things that people can do and see when they're here competing and participating in your events.
I've been here 16 years. I'm in my 16th year. Okay. And I got to tell you, this is just home. It's home now. You know, that's what it is. You don't hear that long and it's not home. I agree. I'm looking forward to the hotels right across the street from the ballpark. I'm looking forward to Bish's restaurant. We talked about that with him when we saw him underneath at the stadium. So, he's never there. But I'm sure if we tell him, hey Bish, you're going to come by? He'll come by. You know, I mean, those guys are and Bagwell will too, and so will the Astros crew. I mean, it's a good setup, and I owe those guys over at the Harris County Houston Sports Authority a big round of thanks. And Jason, I might as well say this now: you and I,
yeah,
along with some other special guests and friends in the Houston community, will be at the Houston Sports Awards.
Yeah,
we will be there as guests. We're not going to be there as working it or covering it. We're going to be rolling down that red carpet, my man.
Well,
we're going to be doing our thing.
Got a double check, but I think we'll be okay. So, all right, everybody. That's with 2 minutes to spare here on our pitch clock. We've got to go. As always, really nothing controversial in this episode. But
Want me to try?
No, not yet. Maybe next time. All right, everybody. Okay. This is probably our last podcast of the year. Now we
let's do one. Let's do one next week.
All right, I'm sure off, so I have to do it at my house, but that's okay. So, all right, everybody, for Jeremy, I'm Jason. Until next time, thanks for watching and listening, and we'll talk to you next time.